All right, so Aaron Aguilar, it was great having him on, coming back from his neck surgery. Yeah, and always in positive spirits. It's really kind of funny. Every time I talk to Aaron, every time I hang up, you always kind of feel like, I feel a little rejuvenated. I kind of feel like, you know, nothing will keep you down. So, I don't know, very positive guy. Always good to have on the phone. We should have him back on soon, maybe let you guys ask some questions, things like that. So it should be cool. For those of you guys wondering, this Sunday is a Survivor Series. As we mentioned earlier, if you're around, check out real-time coverage with Cillian Valeni, our own pay-per-view recapper, right there on the main page. He'll have a real-time review of the Survivor Series as the matches happen. Cillian very fast with getting the results up. As soon as the bell rings, he usually has something up. So yeah, definitely check him out. He hasn't let us down, and he never has. Good guy. So I think you guys will really enjoy that. So that's coming up. As far as the show itself on Sunday, it definitely is a mixed bag. I think that my personal opinion, I'm not too happy with the way they've pushed the main event, the 5-on-5 Survivor Series match itself. One of the things I don't like about it, I think it is a bit strange. It's going to be a bit counterproductive for them to have all the members of the team kind of hanging out. Chris Masters, Carlito hanging out with Shawn Michaels. On the other side, you got Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio. It's a weird situation, I think. I think WWE is conscious of the fact that there is a strong chance that they will be losing SmackDown after this season. So I kind of think that they're looking at it more as a way to get all the brands back together before it's too late and kind of have them all intermix. Not really a big deal having people stand side by side if they're on a show that's about to be axed. But I'm not saying that out of any personal knowledge. I mean, it's just the kind of thing that most of us are assuming at this point with the way SmackDown is going and the way just wrestling is going in general. So check it out on Sunday. Should be an okay show. I mean, Survivor Series is one of the big five. And regardless of how bad a lot of these cards look, I mean, the big five are usually the big pay-per-views to watch. We're talking Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and yeah, I forgot that they got rid of King of the Ring. So the big four are definitely the shows to watch. So check it out on Sunday. And if you can't order it or you just don't want to spend however many dollars they're charging this time around for the pay-per-view, then definitely check out WorldWrestlingInsanity.com and read Cell's real-time review. You should enjoy that. So, cool. Let's talk a little bit about Insanity. This week's moment of Insanity, you guys always make it tough for me. You know, we go off on our rants and we go off and we talk about this and we talk about that. Usually it's easy and usually it's something that I can kind of elaborate on. But this week, you screwed me. You guys screwed me. You, like, honestly, got the whole Bret Hart thing going. If you were here right now, I swear to God, I'd break some monitors, break the table, follow you to the back, and punch you in the locker room, but I won't. Yeah, you guys gave me a tough job this week, but I'll make it work. So without further ado, let me let you hear what I'm talking about. This week's Moment of Insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Robert Knockers.
Mud, fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Man, pipe down, you're acting like a friggin' ham sandwich.
I know you wanna do it. You know I wanna do it too. Out here on the dance floor, and we can make sandwiches. You can be the bun, and I can be the burger girl. I know you wanna do it, and we can make sandwiches.
Yeah, so there you have it. If you didn't know what I was talking about before I played the intro, you know now. This week's Moment of Insanity was John Cena calling Kurt Angle a ham sandwich. Now, let me elaborate on that a little bit. Kurt Angle came out and he was doing a speech, and John Cena popped up on the Titantron, called him a ham sandwich. That's the end of it. That's the end of the Moment of Insanity this week. Yeah, usually whenever you guys vote for something, it's usually a booking decision or some long thing. This week, again, it was another off-the-cuff, ridiculous remark by the mighty JC. And you know what? I can't elaborate on this, and I'll show you guys how. John Cena has been going through trouble for a while now. I think ever since he's turned babyface, of them trying to find the right hook for him to be able to go out there and appeal to the fans while making the heels look stupid. And I think that the main problem with John Cena, and you guys, I mean, honestly, anybody who's watched him from the beginning has to agree with this. John Cena had more biting and hard-edged insults for baby faces when he was a heel. And for anybody who knows the basics of wrestling booking, you want to make your baby faces look good and you want to make your heels look bad. So to have John Cena come out and have these great rankouts, I feel like I'm in fourth grade. He had these rankouts on Brock Lesnar. And to this day, I'll never forget when he came out and he told Brock Lesnar, he goes, "That's a nice tattoo of your mother on your back." I laughed my ass off. I thought that was so funny. There's a lot of little lines that Cena always used to have with The Undertaker and with this one and that one, where he really made them look stupid by really cutting them down and having great insults. I remember Zach Gowen. He fought Zach Gowen, and he was like, you can't even handle The Last Stand. And he said, you know, you're the king of hip-hop, because he was hip-hopping on his one leg. And I remember thinking, those are great, great lines. Now John Cena's a babyface. And now, it's not really counterproductive for him to rank out his opponents, if you will. I mean, now his opponents are heels. So for him to go out there and make a biting comment about a Kurt Angle or about, you know, any of the other heels that are on the program, that makes sense. Unfortunately, for some reason, ever since he turned babyface, WWE has taken his insults and made them cheesy, stupid, silly. And now, for those of you who are just going to blame John Cena and say, well, John Cena's just an idiot, well, here's the problem. It's not like he's never been good at what he does. It's not like he's never had great lines. He had them at one time. He had them when he was a heel, as we just talked about. So something went wrong somewhere. Either a different person is now writing his lines for him. Maybe he's no longer writing his own lines. I mean, however you want to look at it, John Cena, I mean, at this point, really, as the top babyface of Raw, going in there against some of Raw's top heels, needs to have better lines than, you know, ham sandwich. Called him a ham sandwich. And this was part of a bigger segment. This was part of a whole skit. For those of you guys who didn't watch Raw, John Cena came out right after Kurt Angle had announced that Daivari would be his new referee. And he said, you know, you're acting like a ham sandwich. Let me go around. Let me find some people to give me the straight talk on Kurt Angle. Let's find out. So here we go. The Doctor of Thugonomics then goes into a locker room to get the word on Kurt Angle. He walks into the Divas locker room, where the Divas are getting dressed. At this point, John Cena becomes a sniveling douche. I don't know why John Cena became a sniveling douche. The guy is the world champion of Raw. He's a top babyface. He's supposed to be based on characters like Eminem, you know, and all these hard-ass rappers. And for some reason, I can't imagine Eminem walking into a woman's locker room and being like, "Oh, hello, ladies." He came off like Bobby Boucher. So he ended in there, and he's all stumbling and stuttering. And then Victoria, the mid-level heel diva, threw him out. And guess what? He left. Not only did he leave, but he's in the hallway going, blah, 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 blah. It looks so stupid. All right, so fine. So they move on from that. Then they have him run into Tyson Tomko and Gene Snitsky. Gene Snitsky is massaging Tomko's neck. Now John Cena, "Whoa, I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't want to be involved in this, blah, blah, blah." Which was also funny because one of the main things I still bring up to this day was one of John Cena's first matches was when he teamed up with Edge and someone else. I think maybe, was it Jericho? I don't remember who it was on SmackDown. And after the match, they were all raising each other's arms and he turned around and gave Edge this huge hug, which was so out of place and not needed. This is before he was doing the rapper gimmick. Gave him this huge hug and Edge made this face like, "What the hell are you doing?" And kind of like pushed him off. So, yeah, I mean, Cena's just as guilty of copping feels on wrestlers, too. But anyway, I mean, the segment was supposed to be a joke. I mean, obviously, Gene Snitsky and Tyson Tomko are two big men, so that means they're gay. I mean, WWE's world, you know, every guy that's big is gay. You know, I mean, isn't that how it works in the real world? You know, I mean, Andre the Giant? I don't know. Whatever. So anyway, these two guys are big, so they're gay. So John Cena's like, "Oh, whatever you guys are doing, privacy of your own time, that's cool with me." So, yeah, that was kind of the silly, kind of hokey thing thrown in there. Again, I mean, this wasn't a horrible thing. I actually think the segment was saved with the Snitsky-Tomko thing, because as they were walking away, Snitsky goes, "It wasn't my fault," and everybody laughed. And I still think Gene Snitsky has a lot of talent, a lot of charisma, if they do his character correctly. So I do like Gene Snitsky. The problem I found with that wasn't that it was distasteful or that it was insulting, because it wasn't any of those things. I thought it was stupid, and I thought it was hokey to have the world champion involved in something like that, especially right after he was thrown out of the Divas locker room. And then you fast forward, and it was just, it ended with the boogeyman, of all things. The boogeyman opening the door, you know, singing his fairy tale, you know, "I'm coming to get you," and I'm like, "Oh, it's great, man. Darth Maul, how are you? It's good to see you, no teeth." And really, honestly, how long are we going to keep having the boogeyman make personal appearances before they just have him wrestle? I don't know what they're trying to hide. Actually, I do know what they're trying to hide. The guy can't wrestle, but we'll see that when we see that. The 40-year-old boogeyman was behind a closet door. John Cena opened it up. Now, again, the boogeyman comes out there, you know, London Bridge is falling down, smashes the Flava Flav clock on his head, the whole nine yards. Now, this would have been the perfect time for John Cena to cut one of his John Cena raps on the boogeyman. Really just lay into him. Make fun of him, call him all these names, talk about tough enough, all that stuff. Nope. John Cena, again, turned into Bobby Boucher. Started stumbling. His lip was trembling. "What's going on?" You know, looking around and know what was going on. Open the door again, look back. The problem is you can't take a guy like John Cena, who's supposed to be your cool babyface world champion, and turn him into a cartoon comedy act. I mean, the guy really, he went around with a microphone. It reminded me of one of those old, I'm dating myself with this, but you know what, now in the era of DVDs, anybody who's not old enough for this can go out and buy DVDs and know what I'm talking about. Kermit the Frog on The Muppet Show. One of those episodes, or maybe even Sesame Street for all I know, we had the microphone, we had a little jacket on, he'd go, "Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here," and he would go up and down to different offices, and he'd knock on doors, and he'd interview people, "Whoop, gulp," you know, and that's what it was. It was a silly Muppet Show caricature skit that WWE did with their hard-edged world champion. It's like, what, you know? I mean, this is an example, and John Cena is a perfect example of the kind of situation WWE has going on, where it's not the kind of thing where it can be blamed on the performer. I mean, there are some problems that WWE has, where you can look at it and go, all right, well, maybe they just don't have a good enough developmental territory. Maybe they just don't have a good enough system in place to get new divas. Maybe they don't have a good enough system in place to push people. Maybe they lost this one, they lost that one. This has nothing to do with things that are out of WWE's control. WWE made the conscious effort to take John Cena and put him in the position they put him in on Monday. WWE made the conscious effort to write the skit that John Cena was involved in on Monday. I mean, and as a whole, I just thought the whole thing was just counterproductive. And that seems to be kind of a go-to subject of WWE. So many things that are just counterproductive that are done. And I think John Cena and his character right now has so much potential. The guy has so much talent. I don't give a damn what people say about him, you know, in the ring. He's lacking this, he's lacking that. I think as a charismatic performer, John Cena has potential up the wazoo that WWE doesn't have anybody else in the roster. And they're wasting him. I mean, seriously, they're just wasting the guy. So there you have it. WWE on Monday sending John Cena out there to play the Kermit the Frog role. You guys voted for this. I mean, this wasn't just me. I mean, right off the bat, so many of you guys didn't even have to say anything. David started off by just posting pictures of ham sandwiches. Ham sandwiches, ham sandwiches. You know, it was the kind of thing where there's really nothing else to say. Zah said, "I don't know if anything else could be qualified as insane from last night," and this is on Tuesday, obviously, other than the ham sandwich comment. David again then asked, "Can Cena honestly make fun of Maria for saying stupid things anymore?" I don't think so. Frito Bandit, who made up a good said something good to say here, said, "Moment in silence goes to Triple H, Stephanie, and our 110-man writing team, not the doctor of Delinomics." Delinomics, very nice, Frito Bandit. He says, "Do you actually think Cena came up with that crap line? When he wrote his own promos on SmackDown, he was cutting edge. Now he's cutting processed meat." Damn straight, man, exactly. I think this is the kind of thing where if you look at it, you know, even if you don't know who wrote what, even if you don't know if John Cena wrote his old promos or if he wrote the ham sandwich line, you do know that the person who wrote the old promos when he was a heel and the person who's writing them now are not the same person. And in wrestling, that's a problem. You should never have that happen. In wrestling, the writers are supposed to almost be invisible. And when you can pinpoint the differences between writing, you now have a problem on your show. It creates continuity errors. It creates errors in character progression. And this is definitely one of those times. The fans, the readers, none of us should know when John Cena has a new writer writing his stuff. John Cena's stuff is supposed to just be fluid. He's a character, and that's supposed to be how it works. We'll finish it off. TK Ost says, I can see the t-shirt now. On the front, Cena 316. On the back, I just ate your sandwich. Yeah, I totally screwed that up. Sorry, TK. But yeah, so there you have it, guys. John Cena, that hammy bastard, and his ham sandwich. Those are this week's Moment of Insanity. So eat away. Remember, guys, voting begins now for next week's Moment of Insanity. So check in, start voting on the message boards, and we will have another Moment of Insanity next week. In fact, we're just going to close out today all together. If you have the day off, definitely enjoy it. I want to thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week. We do have many guests lined up, so we have more people coming on in. Very excited about a lot of the stuff we have here at World Wrestling Insanity. Now that we have the new setup on the website, it's going to free up a lot of time to do a lot of other things. Also, real quick before we finish up, as I mentioned, a lot of the features still not available on the new website. We will be adding them back in again. Trivia just went back up again last night, but the readers' DVD review page will be back within the next few days, as long with some other features too. So check it out, guys. It's a barrel of laughs for everybody involved. Also, go to Amazon.com, grab the book, grab 10 copies of the book, and hand them out to people on the street. It'll make you feel good. And in the Christmas spirit, what better way than to really honestly just get into the holiday season than to just buy like 50 copies of my book and just hand them out to people you meet on the street? I mean, come on. That's just the nice thing to do. Guys, until we talk next week, this is James Gutman saying thank you for listening to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com's JG's Radio Free Insanity. I'll see you next week. Be well. Thanks for sharing my insanity.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.